Glory to God. Well, last week, Heather started a series. Well, she gave an installment to, we're teaching on marriage right now, marriage and relationships, that being the month of February. It's the month of love, right? It's the month of love. So we thought it would be good, and it's been a while since we've actually taught on this type of thing, relationships. And so what Heather did is she gave three, there's actually four, I'm going to give the fourth one today, but she gave three of the four greatest needs of every woman, and she spoke to the men about what these needs are to try to help men to understand. But and so this is what we need, this is one thing we need to understand. You know, they say that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. That's to indicate that the way our needs are on, it's seemingly on two different planets, right? What I need, my wife don't need. What my wife needs, I don't need. But what my wife has is very capable of meeting the needs that I have. And what I have is very capable of meeting the needs that she has. So in other words, we need one another. You cannot meet your needs in and of yourself, right? And so we started talking about Heather talked about the four greatest needs of every woman. And I'm going to talk about the four greatest needs of every man today. And I'm going to be speaking to women and men, right? Well, I really want you to understand, though, it's very important that we learn and recognize that women and men speak two different languages. All right. There's a language of women. And that's why they say, man, I just don't understand why men are the way they are. How many's ever thought that? What is up with this species called man? This creature, this weird, I just don't get it. All right, come. All right, so men, how many has ever thought, what is it with this woman? I just don't get her. Right? I got some honest men. That's good. That's good, because I thought that about my wife early on. I was like, oh, my God, you've got to do something about this woman, you know. And, of course, his response to me was, let's talk about you. And I'm like, God, I don't want to talk about me. I'm not here to talk about me. I'm here to talk about my wife, which seems to be the problem. And you notice she's out of the room, so I feel safe sharing these things. But the Lord began to talk to me about me and began to help me see areas where I needed to grow. And see, that's why when me and Heather talk to couples, either premarital counseling or just trying to help couples, you know, get a grasp on their relationship, we always talk about, and Heather used the illustration, we had it printed out last week, it's like a pyramid. Or you can really say it's like there's a starting point up here and it goes down kind of like a pyramid. But let's not put the line on it, because there's no end to it. And it's like as the man and the woman are drawing closer to the Lord, God's right here. As the man and the woman are drawing closer to the Lord, they're drawing closer to one another. So what does that mean? That means you need to make God your top priority. Your relationship with God is way more important than your relationship with your wife or with your husband. And so if you will focus on your relationship with God, if both of you are doing it, now, hey, there's a possibility that one's drawing closer to the Lord, but the other one's just like going further away. Well, that's just going to create more of a distance between you. But if you will both pursue God, you will draw closer to one another. And I thought that was such a tremendous illustration. So what I want to say to you today is learn to speak one another's language. But did you hear that first word, learn? See, and this is what I've always said about marriage, is that it's crazy. Because if a driver's license, I mean, understand, to have a driver's license, they give you a manual, right? And then you read the manual. Well, that's the whole idea, right? Read the manual. Learn what's in the manual. Then you go take a test just to get a permit to actually get behind the wheel, right? And so you go, you read the manual, you get some knowledge, right? And you go to take this test, and you get your permit, and then you get behind the wheel with your mom or your dad or a capable adult or whatever, and someone that has had a driver's license. and knows how to drive so they can tell you if you're doing right or wrong, right? Anyway, so you spend some time behind the wheel. Once you get comfortable and feel like you're confident that you can go take the drive test, the road test, and pass it, then you go and you take it. So you go and you take your test and you pass it. You get your driver's license, right? Now you're legal to drive all on your own. But for a marriage license, all you got to do is go down to the courthouse, pay a small fee, get your marriage license, have someone pronounce you man and wife, and then you think that now I'm going to have a successful marriage. And that's why the divorce rate is so high in this world today, is because people, it's like they think that good marital concepts are just going to, it will automatically, it's just innate, it's in you, I know just one day it's just going to come out. And the husband and the wife are looking at each other, well, when are they going to come out? Because I haven't seen them yet. Right? How many know we've got to learn some things? We've got to, and men and women speak two different languages, and we have different needs, and that we, and rarely, even when you find some of the needs that are the same, rarely do they match up at the same time. So we've got to learn, right? We've got to learn and educate ourselves on what these needs are and be willing to recognize. I'll probably talk more about some obstacles to this next week maybe. But we've got to be willing to recognize and acknowledge that we have different needs. And my job is not to meet my needs. So let me stop right there. Let me just say this. Listen, you're here today, right? You're hearing this. Don't sit there and hear this and start stocking your ammunition box for stuff you can use on your wife or your husband later, right? I'm not giving you ammunition to go to war. I'm trying to help you not go to war, right? I'm giving you information that just looks straight ahead. Just looks when you hear something, just look straight ahead and go, that's right, Pastor Ken, you go. Right. Just don't look around. Don't look to the right. Don't get squirmy on me. Right. But just look straight ahead and be receptive, because and everything that I teach you today, take it from your perspective. Take it from to help you. Take it for information for yourself, not so you can start attacking one another with, well, you heard what he said. You're supposed to be doing this for me. Well, now, wait a minute. As much as you're saying that to them, they could turn around and say the same thing to you about some things Heather said last week, right? So let's get into this. I'm going to real briefly go over what the some of the things, the three of the needs, and I'm going to add the fourth one for women's top four needs, and then I'm going to move right into the men today, okay? You ready for this? Oh, that wasn't loud enough, man. Okay, you're thinking, okay. Women's top four needs. The greatest need of every woman is security. Heather talked about that last week. I'm not going to go real deep into it. But men, it's our job to make, and the men are like, wait, you're supposed to be talking to the women. Listen, men, it is our job to make sure they feel secure. Secure in our relationship, secure in our finances, secure in the home, secure in raising the children, secure in walking with God. It's our job to make them feel secure. If we will make them feel secure, it's almost an unlimited situation for you. Now listen, so the greatest need of every woman is security. The second greatest, this is the one that Heather didn't mention last week, but the second greatest need of every woman is soft, non-sexual affection. The second greatest need of every woman is soft, non-sexual affection. Right. So they want affection, but we can't see. This is what happens is when they come up and they come up to give us a hug, or they come up and they show us some affection. Us guys, if we're not careful, we're going to translate that into our language. And that to them, to us, that means, oh, they're coming on to me. So I know what they want. Right. And so we've got to be careful not to. And that's one of the things I'll talk about next week is we got to be careful not to take something that the opposite that our wife or husband is doing and translate it into our language. We got to remember what their language is, understand what they're saying by it, what they mean by it, and walk with it that way. Right. So the greatest need of every woman is security. The second greatest need of every woman is soft, non-sexual affection. Guys, let me just say this. Heather used to say this to me all the time because I enjoyed playing with my mind, you know, just playing with her and just kind of having fun, you know, whatever. Not even sexual, just having fun with my wife, right? But I was rough. I mean, I played with her like I played with my brothers. I'm the youngest of three boys. And so I had an understanding. This is when you go to play and you wrestle, I mean, you wrestle rough. I mean, I'm used to wrestling with two older brothers. I'm the youngest, man. I'm the youngest by 3.5 and 4.5 years old, right? So I'm just like, I'm the youngest. And so for me to be with them was to be rough. So when I met Heather and we started wrestling, I mean, I'm not like punching on her or anything like that. But I'm just like, you know, well, except the one time when we were sleeping. It was one time we were sleeping, and then I was in bed, and I was having this dream. And I dreamed that one of my brothers had showed up to my apartment. Me and Heather were married in the dream, and we were also married. That's why I was in the bed with her, making sure you understand that. And so in this dream, but my brother, he came up to the door, and he had been drinking or whatever, and I opened the door and said, "Hey, what's up?" And he's like, you know, "Hey, man," I'm just being all kind of belligerent, whatever. And I said, "Look, man, it's all in the dream. Man, listen, I ain't got time to talk to you. I want you to go home, get sober. We'll talk tomorrow." Well, in the dream, I turned around to shut the door. But he reached and grabbed me by the shoulder and began to spun me around. And when he did, I came around and I hit him in the dream. Back to reality. I'm laying in bed. And when I spun around to hit him in the dream, I came across and bam, all of a sudden I hear, and I'm like, what just happened? I flip the light on. I'm like, what's going on? What happened? And I look on my knuckle and I had blood on my knuckle. I had punched my wife square in the mouth like I was hitting my brother in the dream. Yeah, I felt like, can you really get under the dirt? I just wanted to dig a hole and crawl in. I felt so, so bad, you know. And we laugh about it now, but it was no funny thing at that point. But when I would be wrestling with Heather or whatever, you know, I was just kind of rough. So guys, I want to say this, don't be rough with them. So Heather would always tell me this. So Heather, you know, I'd be rough with her. She would listen to this. She would say, "Be gentle with me." Except she'd say it in kind of a high pitch. Almost got just a kind of a nice way instead of just, "Would you quit being so rough with me?" She said, "Just be gentle with me." And I've never forgot that. And then I had to start teaching myself, okay, wait a minute. I'm wrestling around and having fun with my wife, not my brothers. Right? So I had to learn to be gentle when I'm wrestling around with her, or gentle. So just be gentle. So guys, I just want to say, be gentle with them. Right? They don't want you pinching them. They don't want you punching on them. They don't want you putting them in headlocks and giving them noogies, right? It's not your little brother or a buddy down the street. It's your wife, so be gentle with them. Amen? All right. And all the women said, come on. All the men said, oh, me. Okay. All right. Third greatest need of every woman, open and honest communication. And coming home and her saying, "How was your day?" Fine does not cover it. Now, come on, guys. You better listen to this, because when I get to the four, when I start teaching the women about your fourth greatest needs, you're going to be amening me all over the place. Right? But open and honest communication. That means you have to communicate. It means you have to open your mouth and you have to talk. Come on, guys. This is what that means. That means you've got to share your feelings with them. You've got to. You know, your wife says, "How was your day?" Fine. Or maybe you tell her just a little bit, and she goes, "Well, how'd you feel about that?" Feel? Guys, do you understand? I mean, our wives are wired to help us connect with our feelings. So when our wives ask us stuff, and then she wants to know how we felt about it, or wants to get a little bit more into the emotion side of it, what she's trying to do is take those two wires that are on the inside of us and trying to help those two wires go. She goes, "That was a feeling." You're like, "Oh, so is that what that feels like?" Right? They're trying to help us connect with our feelings. We all have them. We haven't taken the time to understand that. right? But the third greatest need of every woman is open and honest communication. The fourth greatest need of every woman is leadership. And I love the way Heather said it last week, initiation, not domination. No woman wants to be bossed around and told what to do and just dominated like that. But what a woman does, well, I'll tell you what, man. Come on, listen, man. If you will lead with initiation, women want you to be the leader, but they want you to be the leader in by initiating it. Initiating, man, how do you feel our marriage is going? How do you feel things are going with the kids? Initiating and being involved with the discipline of the kids. Initiating and being involved with the spiritual development of the family. Initiating and how's the budget going? How's not, listen, this is the budget, and woman, you're going to stick to it. They don't want that. Come on, do you want peace in your home or not? Happy wife, happy life. Right? All right. Come on now. All right, so the four greatest needs of every woman, security, soft, non-sexual affection, right? That means, and let me just give you a quick illustration of what non-sexual affection is. If I'm going to give my wife non-sexual affection, I'm going to come up, I'm just going to simply, you know, maybe push her hair over her ear, or I'm going to rub her on the arm or something, you know, hug, cuddle without expectations. Some of the guys are looking at me like, no, don't say that. Right? And you know what they say? They say that most women need, that women need about 12 non-sexual affections of touch every day. But that don't mean you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, one for the bonus. Right? No, that's not what it means. Come on. But we've got, hey, listen, guys, if you want your needs met, you got to have to learn how to meet her needs. Okay? Security, not soft, non-sexual affection. And guys, can I just say this? When you start tickling your wife and she's laughing, that does not necessarily mean that she's enjoying it. I found that out the hard way. I mean, there was one time Heather came up, we were still dating, and we were sitting there, and I just started tickling, and she's just laughing, and I'm like, oh, man, I've struck into gold here. This is awesome. So I just did it all the more. She's just laughing and laughing until finally she was able to get her foot in position and kicked me. I'm like, ow, what was that about? Then all of a sudden, all the laughter was gone. And she's like, I hate it when you do that. Right? So tickling and laughter from tickling does not equate to a happy home. Right? Ask her, say, hey, do you enjoy being tickled to where you can't breathe? Oh, you do? Well, you are unique. Right? All right, let's get to the four needs of every man. Okay, man's top four needs. The greatest need of every man is honor. The greatest need of every man is honor. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I do have scripture. I figured I should sprinkle a couple, two or three scriptures in here, lest you think that I was being unscriptural. In the Amplified, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, of course, we know, understand it. Verse 21 says this, submit yourselves one to another. See, a lot of times you hear teachings on this and people jump straight to Ephesians 5:22. Woman, submit. Right? But even when you read that, if you will read that in the spirit in which it was written and not in the spirit of just trying to get your wife to do whatever you want her to do, because you're the man, right? That's not the spirit that was written in. That's why verse 21 was put there before verse 22. Good. Submit one to another. That word submit is two words, sub and mit. It means, sub means to be up under. Mit is a mission. So it means to come up under another's mission, right? So what that verse 21 looks like for me and Heather is she knows the call of God upon my life. So she comes up and she is supportive and she is encouraging and she strengthens me and encourages me and cheers me on to accomplish what God's called me to do. And I recognize the call of God upon her life. So I come up under her mission. She has also a mission in this life. She also has a call of God upon her life. And my job is to come up under that. That's why I said submit to one another. Come up under another's mission. Come up under one another's mission. See, so it's about serving. I'll probably say this at some point later too, but the greatest marriage is when two servant lovers come together. Servant lovers. Not dominant, but servant. Right? So, but it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, in the Amplified, I love it in the Amplified, it says, however, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being in a sense, his very own self, and let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, regards him, honors him, prefers him, venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. So the greatest need of every man is honor. It doesn't matter how physically I'm attracted to my wife, and I am extremely physically attracted to my wife, but no matter how attracted I am to her, if she disrespects me, she dishonors me, and belittles me, I want nothing to do with that physical sexual attraction. Why? Because my greatest need did not get met. Listen, it doesn't matter if you have a father, an uncle, a brother, a son, or just whatever kind of male figure in your life, their greatest need is honor. Their greatest need is honor. And I recognized that early enough to know that when I got pulled over by a police officer, I don't disrespect the police officer. I honor him. I thank them while he's writing my ticket. I thank them for what they're doing. Sometimes it's gotten me out of the ticket. And I appreciate that. But listen, honor is the greatest need of every man. It's the greatest need. There's just no doubt about it. Now watch this. What you need to do, understand though, the standard is not what you see in your parents. Now, some of you may have had parents that, I mean, this was displayed tremendously. And that is wonderful. Some of you may have had parents where the wife just belittled the husband, belittled your dad just day and night or whatever. I mean, just always disrespectful, always. And another place you can't find that where the standard is not in our culture. The standard is not in TV and movies. You can watch enough TV and movies and you'll start actually taking on what you see in that, and you'll start treating your husbands and men around you with disrespect. And I mean, you see that in the news all over the place. Now, women, hang with me, because we also see a lot of stuff that we're trying to teach. Heather was teaching men about last week, right? About the Bible says that you are to love your wives as Christ loved the church and died for it, gave himself for the church. So, man, listen, if you will love your wives the way the Bible says, she will have no problem honoring you the way the Bible says. Right? So it's kind of a sowing seed, reaping harvest type of thing, isn't it? But see, the standard is not what you see in your parents, in our culture, and in TV and movies. The standard is in the Bible. We've got to recognize this is our standard. If the Bible says to do it one way, and culture, parents, grandparents, TV and movies, everything else that you see says to do it differently, then all that is not, that's not the standard you should be following. The standard you should be following is right here in the Word. And the Word says for men, love your wives and lay your life down for them, make sacrifices for them. And for women, love to honor and to respect and reverence your husbands. Not putting them on the pedestal like God. Not adoring them in the like we do with God, but still having an adoration for them. My wife does an amazing job making me feel honored all the time. Every opportunity she gets, she's always saying something good about me, either to me or to someone else about me. And man, that just makes me want to move the moon for her. I mean, she wants to get some stuff done around the house. All she's got to do is shed honor, just load me up with honor, and I'm all on it. Come on, baby. Thank you. Yeah, I'll cut this short. All right. Yeah, listen. All right. Listen, let me put it this way. Honor is like oxygen to a man's world. How many know we all need oxygen? Honor is like oxygen to a man's world. If you will just fill him with plenty of oxygen, right? Man, he's going to have, I mean, oxygen's needed for life. It's needed for strength. It's needed for everything we go to do. So if you would just fill him with oxygen, fill him with honor, and I tell you what, it's oxygen to his world, man. It breathes life into him. Amen? So here, I want to give you four practical ways. I'm not just going to tell you women, here, you just need to honor your husbands. I'm going to give you four practical ways of how you can honor your husbands. Amen? How many know it's one thing to be told what to do? It's another thing to be told how we can do it. Amen? So we want to give you some real life answers here. All right? So here are four practical ways that women can honor their husbands. Number one, allow them to fail. Not in a destructive, you know, life-destroying kind of way. Not if they're out there doing all kinds of bad things. I mean, no, we're not talking about just sit idly by and like, well, hopefully they'll come around one day. No, we're not talking about in life-destructive ways. But we're talking about just in daily, day-to-day, in and out, daily life, allow them to fail. In other words, what am I saying? You don't have to correct them at everything they do. Right? You don't have to be that corrective form, right? You don't have to correct everything he does. Here's an example, driving. Listen, you want to know if people have demons, put them in the car at the same time. Because that's where they manifest, right? Listen, if he goes to make a wrong turn, let him make a wrong turn. It's not that big of a deal, right? Let him... Because this is what happens. You get in the car and he goes to turn. No, you don't want to go. That's not the way you're supposed to go. And he's like, no, that is the way I'm supposed to go. And all this is going on, right? Guess what? Let me tell you how this gets fixed. Let him make the turn. And then he'll go down and realize he just turned down a dead end road. And when he gets to the dead end road, don't go, I told you so. Right? What is the greatest need of every man?
Honor.
Honor. So don't disrespect him. Don't disdain him, right? Don't browbeat him. Don't scold him. Don't beat him down. He just learned that he went the wrong way. And guess what? He already knows in his mind, oh, she was right. He may have not be at the point in his life that this, he may not be at the place where he can has enough gumption and guts to say, oh, honey, you were right. See, I've mastered that phrase. Oh, yeah. I have mastered it. Sometimes I even do things wrong just so she can be... No, I'm just kidding. Because I know it's brownie points, baby. But allow him to fail. Use the... And listen, guys, listen. You got to use the Las Vegas rule when you're driving in the car. What happens in the car stays in the car, right? You don't run into the house fighting about, hey, well, you turned the wrong direction, or you did this, or you, and don't beat him up. Yeah, come on, man, you need to learn how to ask directions. Guys, technology's even made it easy. We don't even have to get out of the car to ask for directions. I mean, I know that some, I'm not sure if it was a man or woman that created GPS, you know, We have the capacity to ask directions. Don't be afraid to do that. But women, even if they don't, and they make a wrong turn, or they make a wrong decision, maybe in the house or whatever, you know, if they make a wrong decision, don't beat them down. Just encourage them. Encourage them, right? Whatever happens in the car stays in. Listen to this. Any woman can honor a perfect man, but the trick is to honor a man that's not perfect. And guess what?
That's good.
Here, okay, wait a minute. I just got a revelation from God. Men are not perfect. I know it's kind of hard to, it's hard to believe. I know it's hard for my wife to believe. I mean, look at this, right? But men are not perfect. Any man, any woman can honor a man that never makes a mistake, right? Does everything she wants. And that's the problem. Women are looking for the man that does everything that she wants, the way she would want it done, all this kind of thing. But that man does not exist. Does not. We'll talk more about that next week. Okay. But any woman can honor a perfect man, but the trick is to honor a man that is not perfect. Number two, four practical ways that women can honor their husbands. Number one, allow them to fail. And number two, let God be the enforcer. Let God be the enforcer. That means you're not the enforcer. Okay, let God be the enforcer. Right? Wives, please understand this. You're equals with your husbands. You're equals. I mean, we have different needs and different responsibilities by God, but you're both, you have, in other words, you have a right to say whatever you want to say to him. But let God be the enforcer. So this is what I'm saying. If there is something you just feel like you've got to say something to him, come on, confront him in love, right? The Bible says in Ephesians, speak the truth in love. Not belligerently, not attackingly, not malicious, right? But speak the truth in love. So confront him in love and then back off and pray for him. And allow God to speak to his heart. See, now the man knows, okay, she's brought this issue to me, something she don't like about what I did or what I said or whatever. Like, ladies, let me say it this way. It's not so much about what you say to men as it is how you say it. Come on, I'm willing for my wife to come and bring any issue to me she wants to. But if she comes at me being all attacking and just belittling me and telling me and making me feel like I'm worthless because I made the wrong decision or I don't ever do this right. Come on, don't go around making your man feel like he never does anything right. You are tearing him down. And you will not get your needs met by doing it that way. Right? So confront him, pray with him or pray for him and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to him. And here's the thing. Remember this. As you're praying for him, keep your heart open. I'm talking to the ladies now. Keep your heart open because there is, this, even though it might be microscopic, there is a slight possibility that you're wrong. Are you open to hear God speak to you where maybe you're insisting on him doing this, but really it's in this situation, it's not him that needs to change. Maybe it's you. Right. Men, same thing. We pray for our women, right? We can talk to them. This rule right here actually applies to both of them. This is called honest and open communication, which is one of the needs of women, right? We need to come together. We need to talk, but don't do it in a defiant, attacking way, right? So confront him, pray, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to him, and be aware of the possibility that it could be you that was wrong in this particular situation. All right, number three. Four practical ways that we can honor men. And number three is honor the man that you want him to be. Did you know that God doesn't see us the way we are, but he sees us through the precious blood of Jesus? See, we need to, women, you need to see your men the same way. And men, you need to see your women the same way. But listen here. The third way, honor the man you want him to be. Over in Proverbs 31, let me share this with you real quick. Is this helping anybody? Isn't this good? Hallelujah. But in Proverbs 31, of course, we know Proverbs 31. It's the Proverbs 30. It's talking about this woman, right? I mean, it is. It's talking about how awesome this woman is. And I don't know that it's possible for any one woman to be all how many 31 verses of Proverbs 31. I don't know if any one woman could actually accomplish this in a day. I mean, there is so much that it talks about this. But I think it gives us a list of things that women can shoot for and aspire to be this Proverbs 31 woman. But let me just show you this, though. Because this chapter is talking about a woman. It's not about the man. It's not about her husband. It's about this woman and all these characteristic traits and all these attributes of a godly woman, a Proverbs 31 woman. And verse 23, it almost seems like it, because verse 22, it says, she makes her bedspreads and dresses the fine linen and purple gowns. Verse 24, she makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. So she's a businesswoman, right? But right in the middle of those two verses, and if you look back up, my goodness, all the way up through here, it's she. All the verses start like she, her, she, her, she. And then right here in verse 23, it says, her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with the other civic leaders. But the writer was not breaking away from her and beginning to focus on her husband. What the writer was trying to help us to see is that he is a leader in the city gates and he's sitting there with civic leaders because of her. Because this whole chapter is about the attributes of a woman. And they are awesome attributes. Listen, this is what I believe it's showing us. She believed he could be a leader before he acted like a leader. So she spoke to him like he was a leader, and he rose to the level of a leader. Let me say that one more time. She believed he could be a leader before he believed he could be a leader, before he acted like he was a leader. So she spoke to him as if he was a leader, and he rose to the level of that leadership. What am I saying? Come on, women. A man will rise to the level that his wife honors him in. So you don't have to wait till he's all that in a bag of chips before you can talk to him like he's all that in a bag of chips. Isn't that awesome? It's called the power of praise. Right? A man will go to the level of honor that his wife gives him. That's why honoring your husbands are so important. Right? Well, I don't think he deserves it. Well, there's a lot of things you don't deserve. And there's a lot of things all of us don't deserve. Thank God, God didn't wait till we deserve to be saved before he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. The Bible says, while we were yet messed up and broke, busted, and disgusted, the KW translation. Right? While we were yet sinners, Christ came and died for us. He became our sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. So she believed that he could lead before he acted like he could lead. So she treated him like he could lead, and he rose to the level of that leadership. Man, I think that is powerful. All right, number four. Four areas where you can honor your husbands. Number four, cover his faults and focus on his strengths. Cover his faults and focus on his strengths. Don't focus on what he does wrong. Focus on what he does right. Right? Psalm 149 and verse 6 and 7, it says this, let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands to execute vengeance upon the nations. Listen, in other words, to execute judgment upon their enemies. Right? What am I saying? I'm saying that praise is a weapon against the devil. Listen, the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He is always going about trying to find a way to accuse us. Right? He accuses us to God. He accuses God to us. He accuses me against me against you, and you against me. That's five ways that the enemy is accuser of the brethren, right? Us against God, God against us, me against me, you against me, and me against you. He's an accuser of the brethren. So he's always trying to put thoughts in us to tear down because there is no praise in him. There is no good, zero good, no good in the enemy. So he's never doing anything for your good or for the good of those that are in your life. So he's always trying to get us to belittle the other one, and always trying to tear us. He's trying to get us to be like those crabs, right? You know, the crab's trying to climb out of the basket, but then another crab reaches up. Oh, I can't get out. You're not getting out. And he grabs the crab and tries to pull him back down. They're always fighting, you know, trying to keep each other down. See, that's what the enemy wants us to do. But man, I thank God that we've learned. Come on, I want to speak life into my wife, man. I want to tell her that she is the greatest woman that ever walked on this planet. And by the way, she is in my world, right? By the way, for me, my world's the only one that matters. So, baby, you're awesome. Okay. Come on. I'm ready. Okay, here we go. So cover his faults and focus on his strengths. Praise is a weapon of the devil. Listen to this. Praise is a discipline that reminds us of what is right with each other and why we fell in love with each other in the first place. I am convinced, and I challenge you to get up in the morning and praise your spouse. You don't speak nothing negative about them all day. You praise them all day long. Now, I'm not talking about, oh, great and mighty Heather, No, I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about, tell her, man, what, every time you walk by her, I tell Heather she is beautiful all the time. Right? I tell her that she is awesome all the time. You know what? If you will get up in the morning and you do nothing but praise your spouse, husband or wife, come on, if you praise your spouse all day long, I challenge you to come back and tell me that you felt horrible about them at the end of the day. Because praise empowers. If all you're focused on, see, it's about focus, isn't it? If all you're focused on is how wonderful your spouse is, if all you're doing is focusing on that, you have no time to focus on the little shortcomings that they have. But this is what happens. A spouse can have all these amazing attributes. They can be doing a lot of things right, but they do one, two, maybe three or four things wrong. And then what do? We stop focusing on all the good things they're doing, and we're focused on all the few negative things that they may do, things that we don't like about them. I'm tired of you leaving your socks in the floor. Can you please just put your underwear in the dirty laundry? Not the bathroom floor. I'm tired of stepping over your laundry. I'm tired of stepping over your underwear, right? Whatever. Come on. But if we begin to just focus on the good things, what attracted you to them in the first place? Talk about those things, right? What was number four? Number four is cover his faults and focus on his strengths, right? So praise, in other words, praise causes positive behavior. Praise causes positive behavior. Listen to this. This is kind of a twist on script, not a twisted scripture, but it's kind of, I'm rewording it to kind of help you catch a point. Husbands inhabit the praises of their wives. See, Psalm 22:6 says, God inhabits the praises of his people. In other words, while we're praising him, God's coming down and doing great things for us. Come on, wives, you want your women, you want your men to be great. Praise them like they are great. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. I'm gonna cover the three other. I wanted to focus on honor, so I'm just going to boom, boom, boom the other three, and then we'll be out of here, okay? All right, so the greatest need of every man is honor. I think we've covered that pretty well today. Now, the second greatest need of every man is sex. Come on, man, you guys should be smiling right now. Come on. The second greatest need of every man is sex. Plain and simple. Listen to this. Listen to this. This is a funny story. I don't know how many of you know who Gary Smalley is. He wrote the book on the five love languages and all this kind of stuff. And he did a survey one time. And so in his survey, he asked this simple question to men and women. He asked them, he said, so what is your favorite thing to do for fun with your spouse? Mass men and women, okay, what is your favorite thing to do with your spouse, right? And so they did a survey, they tallied it all up, and it looked, and I can't remember if it was the second or the third, but either second or third was sex. Sex was men, for the men side, part of the survey was sex was their favorite thing to do at second or third spot. Now, me personally, I want to know what number one was because I can't figure out what that would be. But number two, number three in the survey was sex. Right? All right. My wife's blushing. Okay. All right, let's get to the women's side. All right, the women's side. All right, sex for women was in 13th spot. Twelfth spot was gardening. So So these women are saying, I would much rather garden with my husband. And I think that is ridiculous. That is crazy. That's insane. Right? Right after gardening. So you can just kind of imagine, you know, your wife's like, oh, honey, I'd like to go shopping. Let's go do some Christmas shopping. Let's go to Black Friday together and get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and let's go do this and let's go all these other, let's go work on your transmission. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. Okay, well, okay, we can go do sex too. No, but that's the truth. That is a real live survey. Second or third greatest need of every favorite thing for men to do was sex, and the 13th favorite thing for women to do was sex right after gardening. And so, if that tells you a little bit, but listen, I'm telling you, sex is a man's second greatest need. All right, let's get on to the third, because I know some people are uncomfortable right now. All right, all right. You know, some people are like, I can't believe he's talking about sex in church. Listen, if you're not talking about sex in church, people are going to learn about it out there. Man, I tell you what, the church has messed up for years by not talking about this in the church. Because I heard a comedian say this the other day. It was so funny. He says, yeah, you know, when he was a kid, he was told that God created sex and it's nasty, gross, and totally inappropriate, so you should save it for the one you love. Right? And that's the way the body of Christ is treated. We make it sound like it's wrong, it's messed up, and you need to save all that wrong, messed up stuff for your wife. And it's like, what? No, God made sex for a marriage couple, and it is awesome, and it's meant to be wonderful. God made it wonderful, and we need to see it as that way. But it's for married couples, right? Okay. All right, number three. Third greatest need of every man is fun and friendship. Come on. Men want their wives to be a part. Men don't run to their buddies because, you know, they just want to get away from you. They run to their buddies because they want fun and friendship. But when all you do is insist them sit down and have a cup of tea and read poetry with you, come on, that is not fun and friendship to a man. Come on. I don't want to sit down and read a romance novel with you. I don't want to sit down and, you know, knit something with you. I don't want to sit here and just look at coffee all day. I think my wife's favorite conversation is latte machines and different brands of coffee and beans and all this stuff. Come on. You want to? Okay, never mind. Okay. All right. Fun and friendship. Listen to this funny story. And this is a true story, though, by the way. There's a couple. They were really struggling in their marriage. And they got a, you know, the wife got a hold of some of these concepts and realized, okay, I need to be his friend. He's looking for companionship. He's looking for fun, and, you know, and friendship. So I don't really like it, but my husband hunts a lot. So I'm going to go hunting with him. So she comes up to him and says, honey, when are you going hunting? And he told her, he says, I want to go with you. You want to do what? I want to go hunting with you. And so in this man's mind, he's thinking, okay, so what she's really after, she's wanting to kill me. And she's looking for a safe place to do it. Right? But no, really what happened is she understood that he wants her with him. He wants to be her friend. But he don't always want to be her friend in her arena. He also wants her to be his friend in his arena. And his was hunting. So she made the decision, as uncomfortable and as unfun as it might have seemed to her. My wife listens to me talk about football. And, I mean, she's got really good at making me believe that she's actually listening. But I know that she's not, because when I come back to the conversation the next day, she's like, what are you talking about? But I love that the fact that she exerts the effort to be interested in what I'm interested in. Right? And so that's what this woman was doing. So the man's third greatest need is fun and friendship. So women, I would encourage you, find something that they enjoy doing and do that with them. Now, men, listen, it also falls upon you, because women want companionship. And so it falls upon you to find some things that they enjoy doing. If they want you to go with them to go shopping, go with them to go shopping. They want to spend time with, they much prefer to spend it with you than anybody else. But the reason women run to other things and men run to other things is because we can't find that, it's like feeding one another. You know, it's like you got utensils on the end of your hands, on the end of your arms instead of hands. You got these utensils, but you can't get it to your mouth to feed yourself. That's why, because you can't feed your own needs. But we can feed one another. So the thing you need to do is find out, what is it you need from me? Oh, I've got some of that right here. I'll feed you. I can't feed myself, but I can feed you. And then she's like, well, I can't feed myself, but I got what it takes to feed you. So I'm going to feed you. So men, women need non-sexual affection. Right? That's their second greatest need. They need security. They need non-sexual affection. You need to give them security and give them non-sexual affection. Women, men's two greatest needs is honor and sex. You need to give them honor and you need to give them sex. And listen, men, I want to say this to you. Even if you don't feel like giving them honest and open communication, that's what you need to do. And women, I'm going to say this to you. Even if you're not all super excited about having sex with them at that point, it's not a bad idea. We're talking about, come on. I'm getting some looks right now. Come on. Now listen, men, I'm not telling you to dominate her over this. That is not a healthy situation. But I'm just telling you, each one of us have what it takes to meet the needs of the other, and we need to be willing to do. Remember what I said? I said that the greatest marriage is when you got two servant people in the same relationship. They're both, I mean, it's all about serving one another. And that's the way me and Heather try to live, is I just want to be able to, and it makes it kind of hard sometimes because she wants to, you know, let's go out to get something to eat. I'm like, well, what do you want to eat? She goes, I don't know. What do you want to eat? I'm like, I don't know. What sounds good to you? Well, I don't know. What sounds good to you? So sometimes it takes us a while to come to a decision of where we're going to go to eat. So that's when I have to remember, okay, she wants initiation, so I've got to make a decision here, right? But it's about serving one another. It's not about taking from one another. It's about the other offering what the other one needs, and us being givers and receivers, right? All right, the last thing, and I'll close with this. The number four greatest need of every man is support at home. No, women, listen to me. The man's fourth greatest need is support at home. So he shouldn't have to, you know, and I don't close me down because I've got some things I'm going to say to the men, so just hang with me here, all right? A man, when he comes home from work, he needs to come home to a house that's not in a disaster zone. Okay? So he needs support at home. He needs you to be able to try to keep the place clean and to cook dinner and things like that. And listen, hang on. Listen to me. Men, it is not the woman's responsibility to do all the cleaning around the house. I got me an amen. It was pretty quiet there. Come on, man, it's our responsibility to help around the house. Listen, she's at home with kids all day, or maybe she's out working too. So we got to drop this stigma, well, it's a woman's job to get the house clean, keep it clean, and cook all the meals. No, it is not. You know what me and my wife do? My wife cooks everything, just about everything. But you know what? When she's done cooking, I kick in and I go in there and I clean all the dishes. Right? Come on. It's not the woman's job to keep the house perfectly clean all by herself. Listen, just because she may not be on a job like you are, and a lot of women these days are. A lot of women these days are working and taking care of the kids. Right? So it's not her job to just make the place like a king's palace just for you, so you can come up, kick your feet off, and do nothing for the rest of the night. All the women said,
amen.
Come on. Right? But women, let's not make him do all the cleaning.
Right?
I remember the guy that I heard say this. He said that after his seminars, he says he's had reports that that men went and cleaned whole houses because they knew that that was feeding their wives' need and knew that that wasn't going to contribute to getting his needs met. Right? But come on, guys. Did you guys get anything out of this today? Come on. Four women's four greatest needs, men's four greatest needs. Come on, let's work at feeding one another, right? Serving one another, not demanding. Don't go home and demand, well, you heard what he said. You need to start doing this. No, focus on your part. Listen, men, if you focus on your part, and women, if you focus on your part, you guys are going to have an amazing. There is no reason, zero. You know, I've heard even ministers that divorced and they said, we just had irreconcilable differences. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. There is no such thing as an irreconcilable difference. What there is a such a thing is maybe one was trying, but the other one wasn't even given a hoot. Didn't even try. Come on, no, there's no such thing as an irreconcilable difference. There's no such thing as, well, our only option was divorce. No, that is not your only option. That is not your only option. We have an option to do it the way God says it. And when you do things the way God says to do them, it always comes out wonderful. Amen. Did you guys get anything out of this? Right? Was this helpful? All right, that's all I got for today. Good.